A radar scan of the Khafre Pyramid, conducted by researchers from the University of Pisa and the University of Strathclyde, has reignited serious interest in what might be hidden deep beneath this ancient site. According to their interpretation, five previously unknown chamber-like structures appear to lie within the pyramid itself. These chambers are said to connect to a system of pathways descending below the surface. Deeper still, the scans revealed eight vast vertical formations, described as wells or shafts, stretching more than 6,500 feet across and descending over 2,000 feet underground. Spiral patterns within these structures have been interpreted as winding ramps or internal stairways. Below these shafts, the team identified two massive rectangular enclosures, each measuring approximately 260 feet across. According to their findings, each enclosure contains four additional shafts extending downward from the surface of the structure, adding another layer to what they believe may be an immense subterranean complex. The radar signals were sent from two satellites over 400 miles above Earth and transformed into 3D models, forming what the team believes could be the outline of a vast hidden system beneath the plateau. In their words, it may be a true underground city and potentially connected to ancient legends of the Halls of Amenti. While the findings have yet to be verified, they echo past theories of chambers, passageways, and forgotten knowledge sealed beneath the sand. To follow the deeper story, we turn to Ancient Civilizations, a Gaia original series that questions what we've been taught and what we've forgotten.
The Giza Plateau. This infamous rectangular-shaped area overlooks the Nile Valley and is only 5 miles from Cairo. Here, people come from all over the world to gaze upon the pyramids and the Sphinx. But below these magnificent structures lies a slew of myths, legends, and documented evidence of an underworld so vast the human mind cannot even conceptualize its existence. What could lie below the Giza Plateau? Could it be an ancient city, a military base, or the remnants of the gods? Is it possible that whatever could be buried below the surface of this ancient area is the key to understanding the very beginnings of humanity on this planet? Greg Braden points to the first documented source of its existence.
Some of the earliest credible accounts of the Giza Plateau and what could be underneath the Giza Plateau come from the Greek historian Herodotus. It was during his life in the 4th century, approximately 4th century BCE, when he compiled a record that he called the Histories of ancient civilizations, ancient cultures, ancient technologies that predate his time by thousands and thousands of years. And it was in his volume, The Histories, that Herodotus began to talk about Giza and underneath Giza, beyond what the eye can see with the pyramids and the Sphinx and the temples during his time. He speculated that there were passages, there were chambers, there were pathways. Some of them were natural, created by fast-moving water under the limestone of the Giza Plateau. Some of them were enhanced by humans at a time when this part of the world had a very, very different climate than what we have right now. Herodotus believed that it was in this location that the remnants of the ancient civilization, such as Atlantis, were able to store the records, the histories, the writings, and examples of technologies from their time that would be preserved for future generations following Herodotus. Up until the 20th century, there were additional speculations, maps were drawn, images were created of what was believed to be underneath the plateau without actually seeing these chambers and these temples. Two men, Henry Salt and Giovanni, were able to survey the area with the technology that was available in their time And looking at the geographic anomalies, the topology, it led them to a place not at the plateau, not at directly where the pyramids are, not directly where the Sphinx is, but on the edge of the plateau to a little known site that is now called the Tomb of the Birds.
Could this be one of the entrances to the underworld?
We know that the Tomb of the Birds was venerated as the place of a bird god. We don't know what god, but it was most likely Thoth, the keeper of the hidden records, suggesting that this is the entrance that will eventually take us to the Hall of Records themselves. But what we do know is that overhead radar images that were taken by satellites very clearly tell us that there is a passage that goes all the way from the northeast corner of the plateau in the area of the Tomb of the Birds all the way to the Second Pyramid.
Although there seems to be documented evidence of the Tomb of the Birds, the actual location of its entrance was lost to the curious until April 2008, when author and researcher Andrew Collins picked up the breadcrumbs of Henry Salt.
Myself and an Egyptological researcher by the name of Nigel Skinner Simpson decided that we would try and find Giza's cave underworld. And it took a while, but finally we found two vital pieces of evidence. One related to the Colonel Howard Vice, who with his engineer friend, John Shea Perrin, investigated a previously unknown tomb in the exact area that we were interested in, which was the northwest corner of the plateau. So we investigated this site in 2007, and, you know, it wasn't easy to get in there, but we investigated it and couldn't find anything initially. And then shortly after our return from Egypt, we found these old diary notes that had been written in 1817 by the British Consul General at the time, who was Henry Salt. And he employed the services of explorers. And one of these was the Italian Giovanni Caviglia. And Caviglia, for instance, worked with Salt uncovering the sand around the Sphinx. But they also investigated the very area that we were interested in. And these diary notes talked about them going into a cave system and penetrating it for several hundred yards and finding in there hewn chambers. And we realised that this was exactly the same location that we'd previously been to, that we were beginning to refer to under the name the Tomb of Birds. So we went back there in April 2008, and this time we looked harder and we found a small crack leading into this cave chamber, this huge, massive cave chamber. And we then began to explore and realised that this was leading into a cave system that led towards the Second Pyramid. But this was a very hazardous, very dangerous place. Not only could you fall down crevices, there were rocks everywhere, but there were also bats, thousands of them, and also spiders, including some that were very clearly poisonous. And we penetrated deeper and deeper into this cave system until the air became so bad that it started to affect us. And at this point, we came out and I wrote everything up, but we reported it immediately to the Egyptian authorities so that they were aware of everything that was happening. And it was a strange story because not only did they initially deny that there was a cave system there and claim that we'd simply gone into somewhere that was already known about, but just a few months after this, the head of the Supreme Council of Antiquities, Dr. Zahi Hawass, was seen going into these same caves and saying that it was the best experience that he'd had at Giza. I believe that the caves that we discovered is just the beginning of a huge, great underground system that permeates a large part of the plateau at Giza.
If this is true, why haven't there been any more discoveries since 2008? It's important to note in 2010, just 2 years after its discovery, access to the tomb became blocked by a metal gate. Could authorities be trying to hide what seems to be a massive underground system?
The one thing that we know about Giza is that there is a huge cave system there that obviously has been rediscovered only recently. But radar images taken overhead from satellites show us that these caves go beneath the second pyramid and that they likely go into other parts of the plateau as well, possibly even beneath the Great Pyramid. And that tells us that somewhere here could be a series of hidden chambers that were actually hewn by either the dynastic Egyptians or perhaps even from a much earlier age by the so-called elder civilization that may well have existed at Giza as early as 10,500 BC.
If what Andrew stumbled upon was indeed an entrance to the underworld, could there be other entrances?
Every room, from the highest chamber to the lowest chamber, was thought out and designed beforehand. Even the so-called unfinished or subterranean chamber right within the bedrock itself, hundreds of feet beneath the pyramid, was specifically designed with acoustics in mind. It was being chiseled away until they reached a point where they said, that's it, stop. We've achieved exactly the acoustics we need to generate certain sound frequencies. We need go no further. So they left it the way that it was. And those same sound frequencies can be detected today, which is exactly what we have done.
The Great Pyramid has always attracted attention when it comes to the unusual acoustics on the interior. I think the first recording of somebody actually commenting on the acoustics is Napoleon. The other one was Paul Horn, who was a flutist. He made a recording inside the Great Pyramid. It was called Inside, and he recorded in all the chambers. Paul noted that the reverberation in the King's Chamber was about 8 seconds. It was very long. And he also reported that the frequency, when you struck it, Khafre rang at around 438 hertz, which is close to 440.
In 2019, I was able to go into the Great Pyramid with a team of about 15 people, and we were permitted to carry out a very simple experiment. And everybody went into every different part of the Great Pyramid, and sounds were made in each of these chambers so that we could not only monitor the different frequencies, the different decibels, but also to find out whether those sounds could be heard in different chambers. And we were able to build up an incredible picture of what was going on an acoustic level. And the different frequency ranges, not only were those fine-tuned towards the human voice, in other words, chanting, singing, and other forms of ceremonial activity were obviously in mind with the design of the chambers. But beyond that, we were able to detect in the lowest of the chambers, a so-called subterranean chamber, and a long passage that exits from this chamber called the Dead End Passage. we were able to find that in here, there was generated incredibly low frequencies, as well as what is known as infrasound. And this seems to have been deliberate. Infrasound is sound frequencies that are below 20 hertz. So we do not hear them so much as feel them and experience them. And they affect us on a very subtle level. They cause what we would refer to as paranormal experiences, or the sense that we're entering into otherworldly environments.
We most certainly know that when you visit in the Great Pyramid and you go into these various rooms, there's a particular tonal frequency. And when you visit the King's Chamber, and you can make the sacred Om sound, it's almost as if it's been harmonized towards this. In fact, in our groups that have made that sound, it's almost as if there's this transcendental experience where the entire room disappears and the stars become present out the top of it. There most certainly is this timeless sound and frequency, wavelength-like feeling when you immerse yourself into this magnificent monument.
Resonance gives a certain physical feature to this monument. For example, it allows waves, like electromagnetic waves, to be concentrated in some parts of the monument or specifically under the monument, whereas in other parts, they do not concentrate. And so what does that do? It creates a gradient. You have an area where you have a high concentration of energy, and then you have other areas where you have a low concentration, and those areas are closer to the top of the Great Pyramid. So what does that do? It basically creates a flow of current in this case, or magnetic waves. And that, to me, suggests that it is possible that the Great Pyramid may have actually operated to concentrate power by creating this gradient.
And this seems to be something very, very important in connection with the function of the Great Pyramid. It was to generate sound on many different levels. But beyond this is the fact that infrasound can be carried through rock for great distances, perhaps many miles, like seismic waves. And I'm pretty certain that the builders of the Great Pyramid would have been very much aware of this. So they are carrying energy. They are generating energy that can be carried through the rock to the other monuments on the Giza Plateau. Now, why would this be important? The answer is so that rituals and ceremonies can take place at other locations on the plateau that can resonate and harmonize with the Great Pyramid itself. In other words, it was all part of one huge, great, harmonizing landscape that was all working as one together.
The very geometry of the Great Pyramid, the angles themselves, a 51-51 approximately for the geometry, is amazing. It does put you into an altered state of reality. And Professor Golod in Russia has built pyramids not even of the same geometry, and certainly not of bricks and stones and limestone and mortar. He makes them simply out of wood. And people go inside and they're healed. So it's an amazing geometry, no matter how you place it around yourself or around the planet. So the pyramid itself is a key geometry for our own life system. And I believe that our body itself creates its own pyramidal geometry. And inside our mind, we have pyramidal cells, which are really pyramidal brain cells in our body. So all of this is part of our geometry of life.
The Great Pyramid is a geographical marvel. Located at the exact center of the planet, at the intersection of the longest line of latitude and the longest line of longitude. Some researchers suggest for a structure to generate high-frequency radiation, which is really light, it must be surrounded by a large landmass. This begs the question, is it possible that the Giza Pyramid's function is connected to its actual location on Earth?
The answer to that almost certainly is yes, because it lies at exactly 30 degrees latitude. That's one third of the distance from the equator to the North Pole. And although, as far as longitude is concerned, it's also at 30 degrees, quite clearly, it is also 1/12 of the circumference of the Earth itself. And this seems to be beyond coincidence. And this tells us very clearly that there was a specific purpose in building the Great Pyramid exactly where it was. Again, I don't think this is coincidence because, as we know, the number 12 plays such an important role in the canon of cosmic numbers in cultures all the way around the world.
The geology of the site is ideal. It is what people call a power place. And, you know, the ancients knew about these power places. So as far as Giza, that seems to be Grand Central right there. I mean, it definitely is a very energetic site.
If you would like to see more from Gaia's Ancient Civilization series, follow the links in the description or visit our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Thanks, and see you next time.